This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
He's been very Craig's been very insistent about this matter. Perhaps we should discuss it. Is it a good morning or not?
When I heard a rope comment, I don't know what
it is for some. It is for some.
Anyway, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kia ora and welcome to Free Left in here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. And after the rope comment, Fred?
I can't go on. I can't go on.
Morning, Mick.
How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. Back to work.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mick and I just getting ready. The winter payments drop off in another...
1st of October.
First of October.
Yeah.
But, and I always repeat myself, but I think they're a really good thing to have, you know?
They have one in Britain, don't they, a winter payment?
Well, they did. They're going to try and can it, aren't they?
Yeah, like the child benefit and all that sort of stuff as
well. Yeah, this is a Labor government. Mm. They're for the people, and they're going to can the winter payment because some people, just like here, you know, there's people. They haven't gone through and said you can have it, you can't because you've got more money. It's too it's too hard to do. Mm. So they just
to rely on people's honesty. Oh, I don't really need it. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
but no, they've taken it as well.
Yeah.
There was also a comment they were comparing that to an up in allowances for people who are part of the House of Lords.
Yeah. Oh, that's a surprise. Mm. Yeah, it's a surprise. Yeah.
Social welfare for the greedy.
For the
privileged ones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We might as well go for our almanac.
Yeah. Find something happy, can you?
It's a bit of a struggle, isn't it?
It's a struggle to find something of
meaningful
in life. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's spring. There's some flowers out. Yeah. I'll end it there.
Yeah. So it's just nothing to.
I might send something to Nicola Willis.
Yeah, and we got all in here. It's not all great, great too. September the 14th, 1960. A US-backed coup took place in Congo. Yes, against the first democratically elected prime minister in the country's history, socialist independent leader Patrice Lumumba.
That's right.
Remember him?
Yeah. Wasn't he the one who disappeared and they only found bits of him or a piece of him?
The CIA initially planned to assassinate him. One involved poisoning his tooth.
Is this the CIA? This is America, the land of the free and the just.
Is this the same place
we're talking about?
Yeah, justice and all that sort of stuff.
Sorry, Garrett.
One plot involved poisoning his toothpaste.
Yep.
Okay. But instead he was arrested, beaten, tortured and then shot. I think that was Mobutu, wasn't it?
If it's the same guy I'm thinking of, the only thing they got back was a gold tooth.
Yeah, I think it is. Soldiers from the former ruling Belgium authorities then dug up his body, dismembered it, and dissolved it in sulfuric acid, grinding what was left to powder and scattering it.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I think fairly recently they returned a gold tooth.
Yeah.
Okay, because it didn't melt down.
That was all was left of it.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Mm. All because he had socialist leanings.
Yeah.
But isn't it sad? What's sad is, okay... Then his own people
turned on him.
Take the money, take the money to Uncle Tom's, you know?
Yeah. We know that. 1989, seven members of AIDS campaign group ACT, not the ones here, UP, infiltrated the New York Stock Exchange and chained themselves to the VIP balcony to protest against the high cost of the only approved AIDS drug, AZT. Shortly after the protest, Welcome, its manufacturer, cut the price by 20%.
Well, that was a good outcome.
Yeah, it's quite a good outcome, but yeah.
Few and far between, though, aren't they, really?
Yeah. It's kind of what happened to Patrice Lumumba, so it kind of reminds me of Salvador Allende.
Because that anniversary must be...
Yeah, it's just gone. It's the other, what we call the other what was it, 9/11.
That's right. And when was that? When did it happen?
1973.
And in September, did it?
Yeah, Chile.
And he was what, taken out because he was socialist for the people, I suppose.
Yeah, he was for the people, just like Mr. Lumumba. And
it's a recurring theme, isn't it?
Yeah,
and popular leaders who think about the people and the country as a whole get removed
or smeared. Look at Jeremy Corbyn, same thing, smeared. Do anything they can or do to make sure they don't. They don't become
Authority. Yes, usually the recurring same words become involved.
Mm.
Big business corporations, CIA, former colonial powers.
Yeah.
I always go for big corporate. They're actually wealthy families.
Yeah.
You know, I think they do it deliberately. They go, it's the corporation or it's the businesses. They're owned by someone.
Mm. Yeah, very much so.
What do they say? I was reading something from Bernie Sanders and about America. And the top four Americans have more wealth than the 60% of Americans. You know?
Says a lot, eh? So it was, there was 51 years since that Salvador Allende murder.
Yeah. And when did Pinochet come along after him?
Directly.
Yeah. So that was the coup. So the Americans probably, let me guess. The freedom-fighting, justice and God-fearing Americans didn't have anything to do with the coup. They just paved the way for for Pinochet and his mob to do it.
Yeah.
Is that how it worked?
Mm. Yeah. You didn't get the hands dirty. You just sort of came to an understanding.
Yeah, a few suitcases of wealth, no doubt.
Yeah.
And even though he's been dead since last year, Kissinger is still reviled in Chile.
Yeah. What was the name of it, Craig? Both you and I have watched this thing. It's on YouTube, and it was done a couple of years ago. But Jeremy Corbyn sort of presents it. It's on Double Down News.
Yeah, Double Down News. Yeah, be one of
And it's about it's very well done. I recommend it.
So what I did, I put in the search engine, just put Jeremy Corbyn. Allende, and it came out.
It's only about 20-25 minutes long.
Yeah.
But if you want to know a bit more about it. It was quite well done because it didn't waffle, and it sort of told about America's sticky hand involved in it all, and then a couple of victims and Jeremy Corbyn sort of visiting sort of heroes of the revolution, etc.
America have had their sticky fingers all over the place.
Very much so.
Yeah. And then they go, what's going on with the world?
Why don't they like us?
You know now why they don't like you. It's sort of a comment that came out from one of the, one of the C.S. Lewis stories about these little people, and they were just, it's all fantasy anyway, but he said, now you know why we don't like you. So that was that sort of comment. Yeah, but the torture methods that were used, they were awful. They picked those up from what the French did to the Algerian nationalists. Yeah,
it's quite sad what human beings can do to each other. So and then of course they go along and they get blessed by the priest or get blessed by the monk or whoever, whatever. And it doesn't seem to be one particular religion. It's just it can happen. Mm. You know.
Doesn't take much.
No.
Yeah, then when Pinochet left the country, he was protected by Maggie Thatcher.
Yeah, and he died a happy old man in his bed, no doubt.
In Britain.
Yeah.
He should have gone on trial for bloody crimes against humanity.
But no.
So, did you guys bother with the presidential debate earlier this week?
Yeah, I watched a bit of it.
I think I lasted about 10 minutes and I started to lose the will to live. But for people who are interested, just for a bit of humour, you can check out John Stewart's coverage of the presidential debate and Stephen Colbert. It's quite hilarious. But yeah, I lasted about 10 minutes. This is the same old, right? It's just...
Just two horrible people. Just to say,
Well, and you saw it, Craig, but now I watched some of the highlights and read some of the comments, but the comments was that she did very well against him, which was to be expected.
Yeah, she was smarter than him.
Yeah, she's smart. And of course, Trump, he wouldn't have done any work. He would just gone in and just thought, oh, he can just blabber around and he'll be right. But of course, she'd obviously done some prep and riled him up a bit and, you know, some of the stuff he said is just stupid, just awful.
But what's worse is the people who believe him and still support him.
Yeah, he's right.
What?
Like the seals.
The more, to me, the more serious thing was, okay, everyone said Trump was awful, but crikey, she's clever. She's probably going to be the next president of the United States. She still was in that whole thing. She's still going to be America's going to be number one. Militarily, economically,
et cetera.
She's still supporting the hedge money. She's still supporting this sort of American exceptionalism and narcissism. And that's what's scary. She's a warmonger. She's still not talking about some sort of settling down the whole Ukraine-Russia thing. In fact, they're talking about, you know,
We're ratcheting it up.
And it's very dangerous. And then, of course, as for Israel, Israel can do no wrong. Israel, yet again, won out of that debate. So, no, I you know, Trump's a bumbling narcissist, egotistical, whatever. But she's what I call even more dangerous because she's bright, but she's still a warmonger and
she's
egotistical.
More, she's more predated.
Yeah, that's clever.
You know, and of course we knew. I think everyone probably the betting was on that she would clean him up, which she did. But it doesn't mean America absolve America. It's not a bright future.
No.
They did, you know, she sort of, there's a couple of policy things. They were going to build more sort of social housing, 3 million more units, 350 million people. But and they were going to cap pharmaceutical costs to a couple of grand a year. And, you know, they've put stuff in there.
They've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever happened.
Tinkered around the edges, basically.
Yeah.
If they've done anything.
Yeah,
and so, still keep it, and people still keep me 4 years later on. Oh, they're still talking about doing this.
Yeah,
and no one's stopped to think.
No, so
they talked about some was it helping people get their first house or something. You know, something.
Yeah,
sort of
small businesses.
Small businesses.
Yeah, looking at
But the real thing to me, the real scary thing, she's still a neocon. She's still going to be a warmonger. She, you know, America's not going to change, and there's no daylight between the Republicans and the Democrats.
It's almost like a thinner than a piece of paper.
Well, we all saw it with the Netanyahu speech in Congress where they all stood up and down like pet seals. This is a guy that's killed how many thousands of civilians?
About 40,000.
Yeah, of which how many are so-called freedom fighters? Oh, sorry, they're not freedom fighters. They're terrorists, you know?
But it's terrible that Putin's doing that, but it's not terrible that Netanyahu's doing it.
That's right. You know, world's up in arms about Russia invading Ukraine, understandably. And yet, when Israel does the other way around and occupies, nothing to see here. That's their right from the Bible, you know.
Yes, and we can bomb refugee camps.
Yeah,
because we think there's a Hamas fighter there,
or kill UN health workers.
Yeah.
Kids, I think something like 220 UN health workers have been killed since it started.
Yeah. Or kill American citizens who are there protesting against the war.
Yeah, the American Turkish woman that just died and got killed.
But they do. So we talked about before on air. They do that because you put a bullet in someone who's from the West, obviously got maybe a bit more influence, might be looking a bit more white, but more European. Mm. You put a bullet in their head. How many other activists from the West are going to go along and do it? It's a scare. It's a scare tactic.
Yeah, a scare tactic. Yeah.
You know, and it works. You know, so it's they're ruthless. And Israel, as I say, it hasn't learned anything, and they go on. Oh, it's anti-Semitic. It's not about anti-Semitism. It's what they do.
It's cold blood murder.
Yeah, you know. And
simple as that.
And the world, you know, Pam, what can we do? But if Israel wants to its place in the world, then it's got to learn to behave like a member of the world.
It doesn't think like that, though.
No, it doesn't. And they go that never again, but it's only never again for them. They don't think, they don't care what happens to anyone else.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's a tragedy all around, and a disappointment that our government, sure, we're not directly involved, but we could be far more strong
well,
worded.
We're complicit in our...
Yeah,
but... In our lack of doing anything.
Yeah.
Silence.
We're complicit.
And at least they could drag the Israeli ambassador in there once a week and tell him off or say you're out. You know, you
but
bugger off for a while.
But it's never happened under the New Zealand government, is it?
No.
Regardless of the left or right, it has never happened.
Yeah. And it's, what we should be, they talk about New Zealand being this leader of, you know, in a decent country. We're decent apart from certain subjects.
Yeah.
You know, it's that sort of, we're a good country, and it seems to be like the churches. We're really, good Christians, but,
We
won't mention Palestine, but look at those bad people over there, you know? So it's sad all around. A dreadful tragedy, and it'll be interesting what history books write.
And this complicity has been done in our name.
Well, that's the thing. We're all complicit because I'd be a lot more comfortable as you can be, but if we just had a firm thing, this is not right. Not just calling for a ceasefire, but calling for an end to it and a solution and stop the killing.
Yeah.
Like the Malaysian. You know, we were over there in Malaysia and now Luxembourg, we want a ceasefire. But the Malaysian, there's people being killed. It was far closer to what the reality was. And Luxembourg didn't want to go that far.
That's right.
He's pathetic, really.
He's a poor leader.
Well, not just him, but we tend to follow along.
There's lots of them like that.
Yeah.
In our name, so.
Yeah.
And, of course, October the 7th is coming up, so there'll be a huge publicity around that, about the poor Israelis just bouncing up and down being innocent.
But they always talk about the hostages. They never talk about the Palestinians languishing in jails.
Yeah, that's one.
Subjected to brutal, psychological, physical...
And there's 9 or 10,000 of them, being blocked up as various degrees of political prisoners.
And they've been there before October the 7th.
That's right. Where's the discussion around that?
No mention in any of these bulletins that they come out with.
And occasionally, they do recover some Israeli hostages, either alive or dead. And, that makes huge headlines, understandably in one way. But where's the headlines for the how many hundreds of Palestinians have already died in custody in Israel jails?
And sodomised is the other word that you'd be thinking
of. Where's the publicity around that?
Yeah,
no mention
in the mainstream.
No.
Very quiet,
Yes, yes. Yeah, who controls the narrative?
So it brings a lot of, I'm ashamed, basically.
It
brings me great shame. I say, I go back, I grew up thinking we were the goodies. I think we're not.
We're just nasty.
We're just a sycophants to the hegemonic system, and that's it.
Not good.
Enough before I get my rope.
Before that, I've got only one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like water meters are coming our way by July next year.
Yeah, I've got that article here as well.
Can you bring that one up, Mick?
I spotted this, so I thought, here we go, it's the precursor for water meters, because as of next July, 2026, there'll be a new separate water bill for households.
Yeah.
So you'd be paying for your...
So they're not going to put meters in directly?
Well, no mention of that yet, but how and when of water metering would be determined by the new CCO, which is the... Where are we? Oh, I can't remember what the brief notion for... Council Control Organisation, they call it.
Yeah.
Will be determined once it's in place. So this is the precursor for water meters.
Softening everyone up.
Thin end of the wedge stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll give everyone water bills, and then they'll say, "Well, if you have a meter, you might not have to pay so much."
Bullshit.
I know, but that's what the cell will be, won't it?
Yeah.
That'll be the cell.
Yeah, that exactly the same.
It wouldn't be so bad as long as the water supply stays in public as a public utility.
Yeah, but
I've a serious but, because that's what they did in the UK. They privatised it. The companies borrow money to pay their shareholders, and infrastructure goes to pot.
So what's their rationale for doing it? They can be more efficient in their what?
I think
I think it's the cost of supply, the current cost of supplying drinking water.
Sure, sure.
But what's the cost? But
what's the rationale for forming this sort of semi-business unit was separate,
the Three Waters being kicked into touch.
This is part of the city's response to the government's local water done well reform.
Stupid name.
Which is Three Waters apart from the Māori bit.
We just took them out of it.
Okay. In Southgate, this is the mayor, says that felt metering was absolutely the right way because it's the fairest way of people paying for what they use. So she's bought into this garbage. It is true when they say if you have water meters, you do conserve your consumption.
Yeah.
But if, as they found in Australia, people aren't using as much water, we'll have to put the price up.
Exactly, yeah.
And so this is I'm glad you brought that up. This is a con, and they're selling it as being responsible and you'll use your water wisely.
Because, let's face it, the volume of whatever the volume of water is used each day, the cost, a lot of the cost will be the same. You might have a little bit more chlorine.
On average.
So less consumption, but the basic cost of the capital costs and everything else stay the same, mm-hmm. or if not, go up. But so you're right. So in the end, they'll go, okay. Oh, there's less people. Everyone's been good. Good on you saving the planet.
But we're not making as much profit.
But we still need to pay for the bills for it.
Or if it's private, we're not making as much profit. So the price goes up, regardless of your consumption.
Yeah.
So who's that going to affect the most?
Yeah.
The same old people will end up having to go down the street, and if they're lucky, and find a communal tap.
That's where it heads.
And that brings up pictures of 19th century or early 20th century London. If you wanted a bath, you had to go down to the local swimming paths to have a bath.
And in other parts of London, of course, there'd be three different providers taking three pipes up for the wealthy. And meanwhile, the others would have a common tap,
communal tap,
next to the sewage pump.
Dirty water. So this is the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah, very much so. So basically, if your local authority has high debt and needs to find money to pay
for it. Was this suggested?
This is for complete transparency of waters related financial activity.
So was that brought up? I don't recall it being. We're having a big discussion about it. Have they already decided this, or is it? Is it set in motion?
Well, according to this article, Hamiltonians are set to start getting a bill next July.
So it's obviously been voted on.
Yeah.
But did we have a big conversation about it?
Referendum or whatever.
If there was a public debate, but I missed it.
Did you hear anything about it?
No, I missed it. I must have missed the debate.
Yeah, they mentioned a separate waters charging in a council statement after Hui followed talk earlier this week of an unbudgeted potential $53 million cost for introducing water meters. So it's going to cost $53 million to bring these water meters in.
So your rates could go up.
We lived up north in the Bay of Islands, we had water charging, paying for water. And how they get around it, because you think, I'll just be a tight ass and I won't spend, I won't have a bath, I'll use the puddle when it rains, pardon the expression, but used to have a pommy share, which was a flannel and all that. I don't know where that came from. What did they used to call it?
In the hospital, they used to call it a bed bath.
It sort of used to be called over here, I just have a pommy bath when someone didn't share much.
Yeah, it was sort of scrimp.
Steptoe in the sink.
But how to get around that is they actually had a minimum charge. So you think you've been good with
conserving water.
Yeah. But because people did that, they brought in a minimum charge.
To try and...
Well, so even if you were really good with water and only used bugger all, you still had to pay $300 every 6 months or whatever. And then you had to, if you used any more than the minimum amount, the meters would kick in and you'd pay so much a litre after that.
Initially, there was no incentive to...
No. But that's how they took. That's how they got around people being conserving water. They say, "Well, you still, sorry, Craig, you've still. I know you're really not using any water, etc. Good boy, but you've still got to pay $300."
Obviously, Paula Southgate's bought into this and says that domestic water meters and charging by volume are the way of the future.
Well, I could see
user pays.
I could see the CCO being privatised. I could see downgrading your water infrastructure. I could see a la UK.
Yeah, exactly. And parts of Europe.
And guess what? they'll pass it. Landlords will pass it on to the tenants, and they'll put a bit of cream on it as well.
My landlord's already said that I might have to pay my own bill, water bill separately.
Yeah.
Your rates may go up, or your rent will go up.
Yeah, that's they'll just pass it on. Plus, they always clip the ticket as well. You know, most of them. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's $10. Yeah, it's gone up 10%. Oh, you got to pay $12 now. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely lost faith in local government. Mm.
Well, yeah.
I haven't, and I still...
I have.
I still really a believer in the idea of it and all that. But
A targeted rate calculated in a way yet to be determined.
Yeah.
I don't like that sort of stuff.
I mean, it just covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? I mean... The council will ring fence and show all water costs and revenue by mid-2025 and design a Hamilton-only CCO, this council...
Keith controlled organisation.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So they'll spend how many million making this organisation up and running?
Well, $53 million for water meters.
Yeah. But then with the planning it, everything else, they'll have to get in consultants and planners and all that.
But if your local authority has a high debt and we need to sell off stuff, will the CCO go to the private sector?
Well, see, our council's just had its credit rating downgraded again.
Yeah.
A-minus, 1-minus.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. That opens the door to those sorts of things.
Yeah. Oh, we did borrow money to build big monuments to ourselves.
Oh, what were those things that were chasing each other around the city?
That bode well, eh? When I read this, I thought, oh, no, this is the thin end of the wedge.
Well, as a socialist, doesn't bode well because, you know, the idea is we do...
Well, public utilities should stay in
the public hands.
But what we do need, efficiency. We need to be efficient. I'm all for efficient government.
Yeah.
You know, because if we're efficient... You don't give people like the Act and people who go privatise. If you have efficient health services, efficient councils, they don't get a chance. They don't get a look in because everyone's, like over in Scandinavia, everyone's satisfied with the system.
Mm.
And that's why it's important that we do it right, to stay in a collective mode. Otherwise we just, it's not run very well. Yeah, let's privatise it because it's not run very well. And it's gone. You know?
Yeah, privatisation is no better than public.
It's worse. It's worse.
Well, it's done for profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's no more efficient.
It's worse. Okay, they distribute the wealth from it differently.
They're very efficient, distributing the wealth to the people who don't really need it.
Shareholders.
Shareholders. Yeah. And that's the trouble. All the focus will be shareholders.
Well, I just need to go to the UK and see what happened in England.
The quality of water over there is shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we're bringing in
bode well.
We won't go there. We'll be better than that.
She's bought into this the fairest way of people paying for water they use. I mean that's just a platitude. It's just a cop out. Because some people will get around it. Oh, it's a business. I've got property and it's business expense.
Of course. So you know the landlord will charge the tenant. And the tenant will pay more, but when the landlord puts his tax return in, rates are a tax deduction.
So we're subsidising them again.
There you go. You know,
more rate rebating.
So it didn't bode well. It doesn't bode well. I saw that. I thought no. But it's been on the cards for some time.
They've been sniffing around at it.
Yeah, they've been for quite some time. I remember when they were. There was who was on council. McPherson.
That's right. Yeah, it's been muted before, and they've always resisted. Yeah. But see, my argument would be, or my not my argument, but my observation would be, Māori have never actually they've talked about it, but they've always said no, water's a common use thing, so they haven't been that interested in charging for it. The moment we start charging for water, etc.,
it becomes a commodity.
Why can't Iwi then turn around? Well, actually, the rivers are still in our treaty settlement that they're ours. You want water out of that river? We want some money for it.
Yeah.
Which they sort of are doing with Auckland, I think. And don't you blame them? Yeah. Like at the end of the day, if they're going to make it a commercial thing, why should they have the largest? So, no, we don't want anything for it.
But heaven forbid they should do that.
But it's okay
if us Europeans do it.
Yeah, that's right.
But what I remember, there was a very good documentary on Al Jazeera a while ago called Lords of Water, and it talks about this very issue of water becoming a commodity.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you can find, on Al Jazeera, I think if you Google it on Al Jazeera, or maybe it might it makes for grim reading, eh? You just think, well,
and I say,
what happens if you can't afford to pay for the water?
Yeah, you can't afford to pay your bill. What happens then?
Yeah.
Did it cut you off?
Yeah. Then there's all those other sins that come with that.
So so poorer areas of cities are going to end up with a communal tap somewhere in the street.
Yeah. That's what it smells like, yeah.
So water's no longer a human right. It's now a commodity.
Or the state pays for Benny because he hasn't got any money to pay for it. So has that saved us any money in the long run?
No, it's just circulating money and ends up in the wrong people's pocket.
It just ends up in a different person's pocket. Aren't we better now to just have a general subsidy? And try and be efficient how we do it, and okay.
If someone, this is another argument for three waters, a universal coordinated holistic approach for water infrastructure.
Yeah. And okay, if you're running out of water or whatever, and the people up in Smugsville are watering their lawn when there's not much water, fine them, bloody don't let it happen. Yeah, but that's how you control it, not say, because he's got wealth, he can have a green lawn, and meanwhile the people over there are all using a sponge, sharing a sponge because got no money for the water bill.
Mm-hmm.
You said it with the power bill.
Sponge bath. That was the blanket bath and sponge bath you're talking about in the bathroom, just doing your armpits.
My dear old mum always called it, I just have a pommy bath.
It's a sponge bath.
Sorry, Mick.
It's a sponge bath. I couldn't believe it, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Well, this other thing I got surprised was that I always thought that...
Is it good news?
Well, no. I have got some good news coming.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Well, it's bittersweet good news, but... Anyway, this is about the RID. I always thought that the relationship between individuals and companies and RID was sacrosanct. They wouldn't sort of discuss, details weren't made public unless an individual decided... Well, it seems that the RID are giving taxpayers details to social media platforms for adverts. Inland Revenue has given hundreds of thousands of taxpayers details to social media platforms for marketing campaigns, using an anonymisation tool that top international regulators say it is inadequate at protecting people's personal information. So I couldn't believe, and it seems that no one has any say in the matter.
Okay.
The IID are just doing this and people
are just... And they're not doing it themselves. They're getting contractors to do what they want.
Well, they're passing on the details.
Yeah.
Inland Revenue generates between 30 to 50 customer audience lists, which we use to target specific ads to customers of Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn or Google.
It's the end of the wedge, isn't it?
And the fact that you have no say in the matter really annoys me because... So 500,000. Date of birth, address, phone, email contacts.
And this is
so they can target particular advertising to particular people who've got discretionary income or whatever.
With IRD, social welfare, those sort of into government departments.
This is
Department of Corrections,
this
police.
In the private.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, the logic is as old as it's flawed.
It's just beggars belief that.
Now, I wonder why you're getting these stupid ads because of these people.
I'm all for. I do go back to what we were talking about last week. I'm all for government departments actually doing advertising to explain to people what they do and how and their functions. Because there's this ignorance we talked about the doctors, etc. Yeah. There's this ignorance that people don't know that doctors also get a big subsidy from the state.
It's free.
They just think it's $10. Or free.
And it's not.
And the doctor's just a wonderful guy, And so, the same with taxation. There needs to be far more public awareness and ongoing about your hospital. When you go up to the A&E, who's paying for it? It's not just free.
How has it been paid?
What the subsidies are.
The old adage is there's nothing free in life.
No.
It costs someone somewhere. Something.
But we do a very poor job
of promoting that
understanding.
Yeah, very poor. And it's they do the same in the UK. It's very bad education-wise, publicity.
I watched something about that guy, I can't remember his name, I'll get it for next week, and he was saying that the UK is terrible at collecting taxes off businesses, etc. Mm. And they've reduced the number of IRD staff and everything, and they're sort of relying on honesty.
They're still finding resources for getting that guy who just earned a shady $20 or $20
mowing lawn.
Yeah.
And they had the resources for that, but not for the big guys.
And he said there's 500,000 businesses register each year under something, and no one really knows what they do, but you can bet the bottom line it affects the tax take.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, they were talking about that tax take in Pakistan, which is low.
Yeah.
And they wanted to change the system, and people rubbing arms. And Greece was another example.
Kenya just recently. Taxes is the gel, you know?
Yeah, it helps.
Well, it keeps things ticking over, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a guy.
We need it. We need tax, unfortunately.
There was a guy I listened to, and he was a German sociologist based on economies, and he was saying, you know, what's gone wrong in Germany and the Western world, he said, is that we have a capitalist system in general, whereas the capitalists don't want to pay their fair share.
No.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they profit out of a capitalist system.
Yeah.
They have all the capital, they make it all thing, but I saw when it comes to actually paying for it, paying their share, they run a mile. And they get away with it.
They sooner spend the money on experts, forensic accountants and lawyers to avoid paying that money. They'd rather do that, but then, of course, they still claim.
Yeah, of course. And I go back to all those big accountancy firms you see all around the world. Yeah. They're not just doing tax returns. They're advising on how to minimise tax.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I thought that was a very interesting way of putting it.
Greece is a perfect example where things almost came to a crunch. Yeah,
everyone didn't want to pay tax.
But they still want
social services. And that's the danger here, that we have the minimised taxation, et cetera. How are we going to do it? Is it all going to be user pays?
Yeah.
And we need each other. Most people don't have. How many people have got a spare 30K in their back pocket to pay for a hospital visit if someone gets sick or anything else? Look at America. It's wealth care. It's if you can afford it or not. You know?
Yeah, if you don't have it, you die.
Yeah.
Well, that means I can segue my positive bit in now.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. You know, early on this year they had the budget.
Yeah.
And there was a big hoo-ha about Pharmac not getting its funding sorted out properly.
Yeah.
For people with cancer drugs. They've just announced that they found the money, $600 million, to go towards these drugs.
The cancer drugs.
Okay. So, which is good news.
Yeah.
But the bittersweet moment was it took them so long, they had to have a think about it while all these people were languishing, waiting for the go-ahead for access to these
cancer drugs.
So that was good news. $600 million. But I hope it doesn't come at the expense from somewhere else.
Wasn't there a comment made that they were borrowing from a future budget?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, wasn't there? Was that the comment that went around?
Or from the Pharmac's future budget,
the future budget per se.
So they've sort of sleight of hand stuff.
Could had that sniff about it, and that's what people were saying before.
Yeah, I just hope it hasn't come at the expense.
Yeah, that's my fear.
The other section of society, like the vulnerable people who are still waiting for their support services, whether they're going to get funding or not. For people with IH,
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
So I hope it hasn't come at the expense of those people.
You want me to tell you
I'm hoping against hope that it hasn't eventuated, but I won't be surprised if it does.
They'll get it from somewhere else, and the chances are they'll be the vulnerable who'll be punished.
That's what I fear.
I'm hoping against hope that it doesn't because those people get affected, but...
Do they ever look at the surgeon and the doctor and all that and say, are they paying the right amount of tax? You know, we don't look at the sort of tax loopholes and all that. Instead of looking at, how can we stop the tea lady? How can we get rid of the tea lady?
It's costing a fortune to have a tea lady.
If someone's owning $1 million a year, how much can they write this off on their farm or their three rental properties? Mm-hmm. You know, why aren't we looking at the bigger picture of the... Because we know the report was out last year that the wealthy pay around not quite 10% of their wealth in tax. Why aren't we looking at that to boost income, et cetera, rather than this other way of...
Oh, you're talking communism.
Oh, what happened to that report?
Yeah, that's been shelved. Yeah.
But again, it gets back to what we said before. Why don't we follow the Scandinavian model?
Yeah.
We've had politicians from this country go over to the junkets to there, but to say how good the system is.
So they say,
we should have it here.
Why don't we get rid of jury trials? You know, they're all going about looking for money. They have this.
Surgeon who's been accused.
Yeah, up in Auckland. 31 days of court sitting time.
Polkinghorne.
There's a KC doing it, King's Counsel. They're not doing it for nothing.
The accommodation of the jurists. They're
the little part. The lawyers, etc., they are the ones who make the big money
for
jury
trials.
A juror gets $30 or $40 or whatever, $60 a day. But it adds up. But it's actually, they're hugely expensive. Why are we having jury trials? Why don't we ask those questions rather than trying to punish?
Well, the answer to that is because there's too many people got invested interest in the current system.
Exactly. Because
it's a gravy train. It's a gravy train.
I think it was Simon Power in the National Party a long time ago said, we should really cut back jury trials.
Yeah.
And he was all for it, and it was going to be 5 years minimum. And of course, both sides of the House were up in arms because they used the excuse, it's about justice and about freedom and judged by your fellow peers. It was actually about lobbying because there's money in it.
I think it's in the Netherlands, when you go to court, there's a panel of judges.
Yeah.
It might be three judges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they're outdated. I just think jury trials, this trial's gone on for 31 days. Those jurors have had to give up their lives.
Yeah, you imagine when it comes to them, they've got to try and sum up the evidence.
That's going to happen next week.
And there's a long-winded process.
Yeah, it is a long-winded process, but why are we having it? Why aren't we thinking, do we really need this anymore? But just keep the lobbyists out of it, keep the wealth out of it, and go, surely we can use our judges and... There's still appeals. You still have a court of appeal in the Supreme Court.
You've got the process in place.
Processes in place to make sure the judge is doing his right job. I just think time's up on them. Blow the red card, put the red card up on that, and then we could save an awful lot of money. Yeah. And lawyers wouldn't be out of a job to still do it. But instead of taking, a judge alone trial, this case.
Maybe a couple of weeks.
It might be a couple of weeks rather than 7 weeks, eight weeks. I worked there, but that was my observation. They're just outdated.
You're talking about efficiency around the system.
Yeah.
And we talked about efficiency around council before.
Yeah, but it's only talk. It's not. They talk about being more efficient, but it's bullshit because they just carry on the system.
Yeah.
If they were really honest, earnest about efficiency, they would do something like that. You just said trial by judge.
End of story.
End of story.
They talk about efficiency, but it's all talk. It's just a load of BS.
Talking heads. And as you say, council inefficiency.
Someone's got a vested interest in the system.
Yeah, that's it.
Talking about Law Society, the Law Society speaks out over move on gang patches in homes. This was September the 10th. Government ministers are being accused of deliberately dodging consultation on new power that would allow courts to ban gang patches in the home. This is according to the article. Expected to pass its third read in the House this month, the gangs bill involves giving police new tools to crack down on gangs, including the power to disperse gatherings and ban patches in public. But a clause added to the bill in August, a month after the Select Committee was finished, has added that this condition will require a court to issue a mandatory gang insignia prohibition order for repeat offenders, banning it from being present at the person's usual place of residence.
Another thin end of the
week. Yeah, so they had the bill passed saying we're going to do this, and then a little bit later on quietly added a little...
Who's going to police that?
That's Big Brother stuff.
They
put the bill before a select committee for reprocessing, and then they finished the select committee, then added this one in on the quiet.
I wonder whose fingers are on that clause.
Mitchell.
But how can you stop in your own home? If I want to walk around naked with a buddy, whatever on my
chest. Where do you
come on?
This is my house, so I should better do what I like.
Within reason.
But where do you draw the line in this? This is very draconian.
It's Big Brother.
And who's going to police it? Let's face it. The police have got enough to do.
As you say, how are you going to police
How many patches have been taken off people in Kaikari already without going into their houses? Good luck. And it's stupid.
This is insane, isn't it?
That's just...
Inefficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's more than efficiency. It just shows how out of touch they are.
Yeah.
And it's just like comfortable people in Smugsville and going off down to the country club, etc., coming up with these rules on how to sort the peasants out.
Yeah, well, Jenny Anderson said that they, she's a Labour spokesman for Justice, said given options were discussed in March, there was no good reason why the change was not put through the select committee process.
Sleight of hand. It's a bit of another sleight of hand stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but the Community Law Society Criminal Law Committee, Chris Macklin, said it was alarming that a power with such broad consequences was introduced after the process.
Because it knew it wouldn't be popular if it was done at the time.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So well, this is Mark Mitchell and the rest of his cronies doing this. It's just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Another inefficient Minister of the Crown.
Well, what would the rationale be? Oh, well, we go in there and someone's sitting in the lounge. Yeah, but he won't have to. He's wearing a patch. We can nab him. Is that behind it?
Well, presumably, say he's got probation, and one of the terms of his probation is that you stay at home and you don't wear a patch in your own home.
Okay. Seems a lot of bureaucracy.
That's what it seems to suggest in the article. But
yeah,
as you say, who's going to police it? How are the police going to have the time, the numbers to enforce this?
How many police are going across to Australia each
year? Exactly. We can't recruit enough to replace the ones that are leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is people making rules for themselves. It says here, quote, Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith confirms the decision to amend the bill was made by Cabinet after the select committee process where interest parties could submit on the legislation had closed. He said the government makes no apologies for getting tough on gangs.
Yeah, they're playing to the audience.
Yeah, playing to their Smugsville friends.
I don't know. It's very draconian, isn't it?
Well, where's the Minister of Efficiency? What's his name?
Seymour.
The Commissioner for Human Rights?
He's
busy following the
one-eyed.
Mr. Rainbow?
Yeah.
Looking for that pot of gold.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just doesn't bode well. What else have we got here? Oh, report the country's competition watchdog. This was September the 3rd. The country competition watchdog, as this article was written, will publish its first annual report into the state of competition in groceries market tomorrow. So that would have been the 4th. Focus attention may not be so much at what it finds, rather whether and how the government chooses to respond. On the bright side, the Commerce Commission will be able to report food prices fell 0.3% in the 12 months to the end of June, after jumping 12.5% the year previous year. Woolworths New Zealand's operating profit more than halved to $108 million, though its gross margins have remained stable through the years. But the foodstuffs South Island Co-op reported a combined annual net loss of $15 million, although there's no real visibility into the performance of the individual franchise. But the food industry is now worth $26 billion.
Yeah.
And the level of competition between the two is negligible.
Yeah.
Like that thin piece of paper
between
the Republicans and the Democrats.
It's just ridiculous, eh? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, yeah. Where's the inquiry into rents?
Yeah.
You know, where's the inquiry into the electricity costs? You know,
yeah,
or the water.
Yeah, water. Or the water. See, the supermarkets always, you know, when I say picked on, fair enough. That someone's got to watch over them. But there's other big costs in a family as well.
Yeah,
and to say rent
rates,
etc. Yeah, let's face it. If they're going to have an eye over food, which they should do, have them over the other stuff as well.
If people are struggling to pay.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to get worse if they introduce these things, separate water charges and the cost of electricity. They're going to be, families are going to be really struggling.
Well, yeah, but anything that you have user pay, it sounds all right.
If you can afford it,
but the inequality that comes from it, unless you put in place things to pick up those people, which they won't. What's the chances of them saying, well, actually, and they've known it. They've had inquiries on the unemployment and all that. It's not enough. And these are by people that know what they're doing, research. They give it to the government and they go, oh, thank you, but no.
Yeah. We'll just file it with the tax report.
Yeah, we'll file that with the, farmers do they pay enough tax report? You know, off it goes.
It just collects dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was also thinking about when you're talking about groceries. I think there was also those union workers are going out on strike because of their pay.
Yeah.
But there was weight.
You know, they could certainly work on weight. The veggie industry, the fish, mm-hmm. you know, things that they get. There's an awful lot of there was waste in the food industry.
Oh yeah, there's more efficiency, but in the right terms actually.
Yeah.
But it's got to be meaningful efficiency.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
platitudes and
yeah.
I paid $60 a kilo for some eye fillet the other day at the supermarket. $60.99.
Ooh, I bet you they don't pay that overseas.
I don't. Well, yeah. Okay. There's a shortage of beef on the hoof ready for market. But yeah, that made me swallow. Mm. I sort of got it. I thought that'd be nice, and it's sort of $30. You know, yes. I could have bought three, you know, two big chickens for that from a food quantity thing.
And Nicola Willis knows how you feel. She knows how you feel.
I was trying to avoid mentioning her. Because, hang on, my anger's
starting
to rise.
She just referred to her as Northwest.
Yeah.
just use them initials.
Yeah.
But, Northwest.
You know, as it turns out, this poor lady that was finally relieved the tax cuts that she would now be able to take her kids to the movies... Turns out she's, she's probably a little rich girl because daddy was rich.
And is rich.
So, actually, Nicholas, you know, this is what, it's just despicable that you imply that you're one of us.
It's not
your fault that you're born into a privileged family, etc., and you're white and you're clever.
But you tried to tell us that you're one of us.
You're one of us. You've never been one of us.
You're one of them.
You know? And that's what riles me. And I see someone was writing a comment about that a little while back about Nicola Willis been able to afford to take her kids to the movies. She's always been able to do that, you know, and that's just, you know, that implying that you're one of us is sort of a low trick.
Low down trick, yeah. And she brought that up in Parliament.
Yeah.
Yeah, just basically told a lie.
Yeah, so, well.
She doesn't know how you feel. The cardinal rule is whenever a politician says they're just like...
You and me. Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
No, they
can have empathy, but...
Empathy is one thing, but and sympathy, but to identify as...
I'm just making out that you're...
Just like you.
Punch me.
It's a bit of a cheek.
Yeah, needs... What was it she talked about? Needs-based... what was it now? I think it connected to some decision around Maori Pacifica youth and health.
Oh, okay.
Needs-based.
Yeah, rather than race-based.
Race-based, yeah.
Which will turn out, let's face it, there's a thing in the Herald today about it.
If you follow the argument to that conclusion, then it will still come out the same as
it will be
a racial group. Whose needs are higher than another racial group.
Who's poor?
It's the same people.
You know, and struggling. Has bad health outcomes.
So you're changing the word in...
And it means nothing.
It means nothing.
Yeah, meaningless, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's BS. Just to satisfy. It's like the three waters.
Because you feel uncomfortable.
We just change the thing. We're still to the same process.
But it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't change.
Doesn't change efficiency or inefficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just shows you that Nicola Willis.
I think we'll just call her Northwest from now on.
Yeah. Yes, and she should go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where would it take you? Afghanistan.
Yes, Northwest Frontier. Yeah. Yeah.
Her normal, and she deals with. She just deals with. That's how it is. But they vote.
So these fantasists vote.
Yeah, and the
people who support
vote.
Them are fantasists, and they vote.
Of course they do.
Yes. Northwest.
Northwest Frontier, that's where they need to go.
Okay.
Permanently.
Well, she'll be at the movies today, I imagine. You know, maybe she owns the movie theatre.
Maybe she's watching North by Northwest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great movie.
She'll be taking the bus, of course.
Tax subsidised, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well, study might attend Air New Zealand behind on climate targets. This is a report just released. Researchers at the University of Otago rated 21 big companies on their climate targets, with Air New Zealand and Mitre 10 among the worst and Frontera the best. The ratings are based on whether the company's plans were transparent and in keeping with putting the brakes on global heating within 2 degrees pre-industrial temperatures, blah, blah, blah.
The important word is transparent.
Yeah, Climate Action Tracker, RTRI system, major banks, electricity companies and some retailers and major oil companies. Air New Zealand, which has abandoned its climate target for 2030, might attempt. A meat producer, Alliance, each scored 1.5 out of 10, making them the poorest rated of the 21 companies. So, yeah. And another quick one was that greenwashing. Some companies, seafood companies, are making claims that they're sustainable, their food production, it comes from sustainable green resources.
And don't tell me the bad news.
It's not quite that. Sleight of hand. They've been telling fibs.
I was a bit worried about honest capitalism.
They've been telling fibs.
Oxymoron.
They've been telling fibs on the back of the packaging, but they've
Even my Weet-Bix, just to change the subject slightly.
The humble Weet-Bix.
I'm sure my Weet-Bix is lighter or something.
Hey, you know? Stealth inflation. They've shrunk.
Shrunk inflation. Yeah, I think, is this the same heavy? It used to be quite hard to crunch you. Now,
no.
My spoon, and if I don't have milk on it, it shatters in 100 different pieces. And I think, haven't lightened the load,
course,
have they?
Of course they have. Everything's been attacked. Everything's been reduced, repackaged.
Yeah. So anyway.
Greenwashing, eh?
Yep.
Yeah.
I watched from one of these historical channels on YouTube. I watched it was about an outbreak of typhoid in Aberdeen in 1964.
All right.
It was to do with tin beef or corn.
Okay.
The canned
beef. And it came from the beef came from Argentina.
Yeah.
And they washed it in water, but it was also the same water that people's weight was going.
It was brown water. Okay.
Body waste was going.
Yeah. And then there was a typhoid outbreak in Aberdeen in 1964.
Yeah.
Good grief. And they couldn't track it until they found the precise butcher and the precise machine where they cut the meat.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of that, they've put out some science now. How much time have we got? We're just a bit out of it.
I'll talk
about it next week. Anyway, I'm going to go home today and probably, after the rally, I'll probably put on a movie about the Northwest Passage.
See you next week.
See you next time.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.